We're going to get started this evening, and we're running out of space, so if you guys would please squeeze into the middle of the pews and open up some areas on the ends. No. tonight we are back after the holidays to begin afresh our study of Paul's prayers, and we're currently learning what to ask for in our prayers. And when it comes to praying for ourselves and other brothers and sisters in Christ, we've learned that we are to pray for the entirety of that person, the entirety of their being. We're to pray for the believer's physical needs, for their emotional needs, for their mental needs, and as we're going to begin seeing tonight, we are to pray for their spiritual needs as well. You see, we as human beings are not only physical, emotional, and mental beings, we're also spiritual beings. We were created by God with a soul, as Genesis 2:7 describes, a soul by which we can relate and fellowship with God. And these souls of ours are fragile things, as the rest of the account of Genesis makes pretty clear, right? We have a need to not be deceived, to not be found immature, to not be corrupted. And so in his New Testament letters, the Apostle Paul prays for several of the spiritual needs of his listeners and thus outlines for us how we ought to pray for ourselves and for our brothers and sisters in Christ for their spiritual needs. And Paul prays in three directions regarding our spiritual needs. He prays for spiritual discernment, he prays for spiritual maturity, and he prays for spiritual preservation. And we ought to pray for these three gifts from God as well. Tonight, we're just going to look at the first one of these requests, which is that we ought to pray for spiritual discernment. And I'm excited for the passage. If you were to ask me, what is my favorite passage in the Bible? The answer is, it's the passage I'm currently studying. So tonight, it is Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And so if you have your Bible, and I hope you do, please turn there this evening. Philippians chapter 1, 9 through 11, Paul prays these words. He says, and I better bring it up myself. He prays, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So this is Paul praying that we as believers would grow in our spiritual discernment. And we'll discover what that is tonight as we go through this passage. But before we dive any deeper, let's ask God to help us open our eyes to his truth tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this passage. We thank you for how it addresses a very serious and constant need of our souls to be able to understand your word and to be able to discern the world in which we live, to be able to navigate it in a way that pleases you, to not walk as fools, but to walk as wise men, making the best use of the time because the days we live in are evil. Father, we need the gift of discernment. And so, Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to that need and that you would impress upon our heart the need to pray for it tonight as we study this passage in Philippians chapter 1. Father, I thank you for Paul. I thank you for his prayers, and I thank you for how they are a pure expression of your will, particularly in the things that we ought to pray for. And so, Father, I pray that we would pray with Paul tonight for spiritual discernment, that you would richly give it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I said before, this is Paul praying for the gift of spiritual discernment. What we'll see tonight is two points, two kind of sections of this passage that we can follow. Paul gives first the request for spiritual discernment in verse 9, and then he gives the results of spiritual discernment in verses 10 through 11. So if you want to kind of understand the passage, that's the way I would understand it. In verse 9, he gives the request. In verses 10 through 11, he gives the results. And so first, let's look at the request for discernment that Paul gives here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. He says here, and it is my prayer, here's the prayer, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. That was Paul's prayer for the Philippian believers there in Philippi. His prayer was that their love would abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment. And I want you to notice first that what's at the heart of Paul's prayer here is not that those Philippian believers would have love. Those Philippian believers already possessed it. Love comes built into the Christian life. It isn't an optional additive. It is an essential ingredient. As Galatians 5:22 states, the first dimension of the fruit of the Spirit is what? It is love, right? As Romans 5:5 explains further, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So love for God, love for one another, love for our neighbors, even, yes, love for our enemies, all of this is given to us and enters into our life at the very moment of our regeneration and of being born again. As 1 John 4:19 says, we love in all of these different ways because He first loved us. And notice this love that we already possess as believers is a volitional love. It is a love of the will. That word that's used for love there in verse 9 is agape in the Greek, right? That's that famous word that describes a devoted love, a committed love, a choosing love. So the moment that you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive in that moment the supernatural spiritual capacity to show Christ-like love to God, to one another, to others, and even your enemies. It was given to you as a gift. You have the ability to love like that. And so Paul doesn't pray for the Philippians here to have love. They've already got it. What he prays for here is that their love may abound more and more. That word abound means to overflow or to expand or increase, to perpetually, you could say, flood and cascade over in ever-increasing amounts. The picture that came to my mind when I was looking at the lexicons was of a tsunami when it's coming in, right? Of wave after wave just keeping on growing and building and increasing on itself until it's overwhelming. That's what Paul prays for our love, that it would abound more and more. But how? With knowledge and all discernment. Notice, love is not blind. At least biblical love is not blind. Biblical love is channeled and it is focused through knowledge and discernment. If love is not channeled and focused through knowledge and discernment, it becomes of no earthly good at all. It's like, when I was thinking about it earlier, it's like Mad River out back, right? So Mad River is a wonderful thing when you think about it, right? The water of Mad River provides a place for the fish to swim and for the trees to grow and for the birds to nest and for the crops to be watered and for kids to play, right? And for all the reasons that I just given, more water running through Mad River would be a good thing, as long as the riverbanks were increased to always keep that water channeled and focused. The problem comes, as all of us here intimately know, is when the water leaves behind those important riverbanks, then the water is no longer a help. It is, in fact, a great hurt. That is exactly the way it is with love. Love that is not channeled nor focused by the Word of God is no good at all. And we see that type of love in Christian communities all over the place. Christians are eager and enthusiastic to show love to others. That's a great thing. But then in the name of love, they start calling evil good and good evil and start minimizing truth and ignoring and accepting error. Their motives may be worthy. Their intentions may be honorable. But they are doing more harm than good. Love, if it is to be of any good at all, must be channeled and focused, as Paul prays for here, within the twin riverbanks of knowledge and all discernment. Now that word, so let's consider that. That word knowledge is epignosis in the Greek, and it means to possess a precise, a clear, and a correct knowledge of something. So in relationship to the context we're looking at tonight, a precise knowledge of what? The answer is the Word of God. We as believers must make sure that every time we choose to show love to someone, our love and our loving action is being informed, channeled, and focused by a clear knowledge of God's Word. For example, there are lots of times when believers will be motivated to show love to someone. And in the process, they will think the best way to do that is to retreat from communicating truth or confronting error for the sake of maintaining a relationship. Listen, that is not loving. You may have chosen to love, but that love is not being channeled by God's word, and therefore it won't help anyone. In fact, it will hurt them. To put it on the other side is another example. There's lots of times when believers will be motivated to show love to someone. In the process, they will communicate truth, but bluntly, harshly, and callously. Listen, that's not loving either. You may have chosen to show love, but that love isn't being channeled by God's word and therefore won't help anyone. In fact, it will hurt them. We've got to have our love channeled and focused by knowledge. And second, channeled and focused by, he says here, all discernment. All discernment. Now that's an interesting word in the Greek. It means to possess moral insight or perception of something. And it's the word from which we get our word aesthetic, right? So that which is pleasing, that which is beautiful. And so the full idea when you look at this word is really this. Discernment is to have the moral perception and insight into what pleases God, what is pleasing to God. What is most beautiful and acceptable in his sight, and what isn't pleasing to him. In other words, discernment is the ability to take what we know from God's word and to make value statements upon the world by it. Judge not, lest ye not be judged. Wrong application, right? Scripture is calling us here to make judgments, to make value statements based on what we know from God's word, right? It's to be able to look at the world. Discernment is to be able to look at the world around us and say, this is what is good, this is what is bad, and this is what is best. That's discernment. And we need it. I don't know about you, but I think my Christian life, more often than not, is hampered, not by bad things, but by things that are not best. And we need discernment. We need the ability to be able to look at the things around us and the things within us and say, what is good? What is bad, and what is best? Discernment opens our eyes to those things. It opens our eyes to be able to know what would be most pleasing to God and what is not pleasing to Him. Discernment is sorely needed. And that's why Paul prays for it. He prays that their love and their decisions to love would abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment. That their growing love would be channeled, directed, and focused by an ever-increasing knowledge and discernment of the will of God. This is the request for discernment. Now let's consider the results of discernment. Why would Paul be concerned about praying for this, right? Why should we pray for discernment? What's the results? What are the benefits of obtaining discernment from the Lord? Paul gives two reasons for why we should pray for discernment here. Two reasons that come from having discernment, a present and a future result. The first result or benefit of discernment is the present result. It's given there in verse 10. So that you may approve what is excellent. The first result of having discernment is that you begin to approve what is excellent. That word approve was actually used in the ancient culture of when people would test the purity of metals. They would put it through the fire, and through the separation of metals that happens during the heating process, they would see if that chunk of gold that was given to them was really as pure as they were told it was, or whether there were impurities in it. And Paul tells us here that that is what believers start to do when their love begins to be channeled and focused by the Word of God. They don't just accept everything as good, nor do they just start rejecting everything as bad. They begin to, as 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, test everything, holding fast to what is good and abstaining from what is evil. Right? When the love of a believer begins to be channeled and focused by the Word of God, they begin to send everything in their life through the fires of testing. They examine everything. They begin to hold up everything next to the Word of God, and through practicing their powers of discernment, begin approving only that which is excellent. Believers ought to be people of self-examination. I know that it's gotten a bad rap lately. It should not be. This is what discernment is all about. This is how we start living lives that are excellent for the honor and glory of God. We have to take the Word of God and we need to meditate on it and examine our lives in light of it. We need to begin approving what is excellent. And that word excellent means that which is most pure, most valuable, most significant. That's where you see that discernment is not merely what is good and what is bad. It's actually a step beyond that. It is what is good and what is best. That's discernment. It's not what am I forbidden to do and what am I allowed to do, but it is of all the things I am allowed to do in Christ with the freedom God has given me, what is the best option I should choose? That's spiritual maturity. That's discernment. This is the first present result when discernment is obtained and exercised. A Christian moves beyond that realm of what is wrong and what is right and moves into a realm of what is good and what is best for the glory of God. As Ephesians 5:10 and verse 15 states, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And then he says this in verse 15, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making, here it is, the best use of the time because the days are evil. So that's the present result of spiritual discernment, approval of what is excellent. Now let's consider the future result of obtaining discernment from the Lord. He mentions it there at the end of verse 10 and the beginning into verse 11 where he says, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. In other words, as you begin to start discerning the things that are excellent, the things that you ought to approve and that you ought to participate in, once you start discerning those things, the result is you start living a life of purity and blamelessness for the day of Christ, verse 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Paul says that the future result of having love that is channeled and focused by the Word of God will be us standing before Him pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Pure. That word, and again, I wish I had so much more time. That word means without hidden fault. Without hidden fault. To put it another way, having love channeled and focused by the Word of God produces a life of integrity. There's a lot more I wish I could say, but it means living a life of integrity. As God gives us the ability to discern what is pleasing to Him, we start discerning what is pleasing to Him, not only in the things around us, but in the things within us. And that discernment produces a life of purity. You know, I'm giving my life and my time to something here that might not be bad, but boy, it's sure not encouraging me to grow very much. I need to make some changes. Discernment produces a life of purity. It also produces a life of blamelessness. He says, pure and blameless for the day of Christ. That word blameless means without offense, namely to others. Scripture talks greatly about temptations to sin are sure to come, Jesus warns about, but woe to the one through whom those temptations come. You do not want to be the cause of offense in other people. Well, when our love is channeled and focused by the Word of God, it causes us to avoid being a cause for spiritual stumbling in others, as is warned about in even Romans chapter 14. Our decisions to love, when it's informed by God's Word, actually encourages others in their spiritual walk, not hinders them. Discernment makes us concerned about how to encourage others in their spiritual walk, not what am I allowed to do. That's what happens when we have discernment, when we start to live lives with no masks, no malice, and no immaturity. This is discernment. In short, you could summarize the future result of possessing discernment as being filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And there's so much more I want to say there. I mean, notice, like, the fruit of righteousness comes where? Through Jesus Christ, right? If you're connected to Christ, what's going to come out of you? The fruit of righteousness, right? But that's not what I'm going to talk about tonight. What's great is that that's exactly what every single one of us should want there, is it not? We should all want to be filled with the fruit of righteousness, not just to have a little bit, right? To be filled with it so that Christ's righteousness would be just bursting out of us. We should be wanting to be filled with that fruit, and we should want to bring praise and glory to God. Well, the only thing that brings praise and glory to God is lives filled with righteousness, and the only thing that will produce a life that is filled with righteousness is a life of spiritual discernment, where you're not someone that just accepts everything that comes to you or rejects everything that comes to you. You're someone that holds up the Word of God continually to your life and to others, so that you might approve the things that are excellent. We need this. I need this. We want to live lives that bring praise and glory to God. Well, that happens when biblical love and biblical knowledge and discernment meet. That's when we live lives that please God. Produces a fruit of righteousness to the honor and glory of God. And so Paul prays that those Philippian believers would receive that, that they would receive the gift of spiritual discernment, that they would have their love given to them in Christ, channeled and focused by the Word of God, so that their lives would produce the fruit of righteousness in approving what is excellent to the glory and praise of God. I don't know about you, but I want that life. I want that ability to know what is excellent. I want to know what is pleasing to the Lord, and I want to live that type of life for His honor and for His glory. God's got to open my eyes to see that, though. He's got to give me that knowledge. He's got to give me that understanding and discernment. And so Paul prays, and so we should too tonight. We should join Paul in prayer tonight that God would give us the gift of spiritual discernment for the glory of God.